Welcome to Fujoshi Weekly, the show for the spiciest part of the fandom and My Hero Academia shippers everywhere. I'm your host, Defna, and I'm here with Angie.
Hi.
And Ash.
Hi.
And today we're going to talk about a very blessed month that is just coming to an end, October. In recent years, different prompt-based challenges that take place in October have been spreading like fleas in a catboy shelter. And if this joke isn't funny, know that I asked my co-host and they didn't reply, so it's their fault too.
I didn't actually see that until now.
I put it in bold just so it's on the record.
Okay, you did. Wow. My bad.
Yeah. So we'll talk about Inktober and the recent controversy surrounding it recently. Kinktober and how it stemmed from it, and different variation of sexy prompt list that we saw this year. And also interview a writer that's participating in Kinktober. So, what is Kinktober? My reason to live in October, other than that.
Sounds like a very horny month, Deathna.
Yeah.
It is. It's the best. We're so lucky to have fan lore because we have definitions for every fandom term.
Yes.
Kinktober is a multi-fandom prompt-based challenge that encourages creation of erotic fan work, mostly fan fiction and fan art, but not limited to. And it focuses on specific kinks. There's different prompt lists every year, not organized by a specific person. But every day has a different kink or two in case you aren't into the first one. And the participants create something for that prompt. So I think we're going to start by how it started, because I think it's pretty well known that it started from Inktober.
Mm-hmm.
But Angie is going to tell us more about that.
Yeah, well, Inktober was started by the artist Jake Parker in 2009. So this event is already 11 years old.
So weird.
Yeah.
This as 11 years old.
And he basically wanted to become better with drawing in ink. So he made a challenge to challenge himself to make a drawing every day of October based on a prompt list that he created. And it basically sparked this huge event called Inktober. And there are hundreds of thousands of artists that participated every year. And of course, it also sparked all the other Tober events.
I bet.
That we'll discuss later. Yes, yes. Now, unfortunately, there has been some controversy that started actually last year in December.
Really?
Yes. Jake Parker copyrighted the word and the logo Inktober.
Oh my God. Every time that there's a story that about somebody copywriting a word, like it's going, it's nasty.
Well, the problem is that, of course, he created it and he organized the event, the homepage and everything. It's his.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that it got big because of all the participants. If artists wouldn't have joined and made it this huge community event, it wouldn't have been what it is today. And he copyrighted it in 2017, so it's not new. But nobody knew about it. And in December last year, some artists were hit with takedown notices and cease and desist notices for their books that they published or self-published with their Inktober art.
Mm. Oh, I didn't know that people do that, but it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So if the title was just Inktober, the year, and then by and the artist's name, it got a cease and desist notice.
Wow.
And it's a bit, it's something they created. It's their art. Why
it's
would
a dick
somebody.
Move, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Why would somebody claim that?
Mm-hmm.
And it sparked, of course, a shitstorm.
Of course.
I would have been angry too. it's your art and you want to sell it to interested people, and then somebody sends you a cease and desist order because the name Inktober is copyrighted.
Mm-hmm. So stupid.
So then Jake Parker in December 2019 posted a notice on his blog to clarify. And he explained that he trademarked the brand Inktober, including its logo, to protect it against bad actors, such as selling t-shirts or other merch with their logo on it, profiting off the brand without having nothing to do with the event.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It was never the intent to stop artists selling their sketchbooks. However, you cannot use the title Inktober or the official logo on your book.
Mm.
Only as a subtitle. So you can have like Art Challenge Inktober and then the year, for example. That would be all right.
Uh-huh.
And then he also stated in a tweet that his lawyers went a little trigger happy. And he will personally work things out with artists who were hit with this takedown notices. And as I said, this happened in 2019. And there already people were like, okay, this Inktober event is getting sketchy. And he also started to put out some, I think, subscription boxes where you pay $90 and then you get some art supplies, so it's sponsored content.
What a sellout.
Yeah, he started really monetizing on this brand. And it doesn't stop here, because shortly after, he started promoting a book that he's gonna bring out titled Inktober All Year Long.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
And in August this year, the black artist Alfonso Dunn made a video on YouTube. He's a well-known artist as well, with over, I think, 500,000 subscribers on YouTube. He makes tutorial videos and is an incredible artist. When I looked him up, it's really nice work. And he published a book in 2015 called Pen and Ink Drawing. And in this video, he claims that Jake Parker plagiarized his book.
Okay.
In like the content, the drawing?
Well, Alfonso Dunn's book is like it's a teaching book, you know. He teaches the techniques of inking. And there's this saying that you can't, because these are fundamentals of art. And some people say you can't have like a, it's not yours if these fundamentals are the same throughout art. You know, it's not something new. But the way you present it and the way you teach something, everybody's unique in this aspect. And if you watch some pages that Jake Parker posted on his Instagram account and compare it to what's in Alfonso Dunn's book, you can see striking similarities.
Mm.
They're very similar in the way that he teaches these techniques, how it's presented, the flow of the different themes, the way you convey certain concepts of these fundamentals in art is extremely similar. And it's an hour-long video where Alfonso Dunn really dissects every page that he finds or every content that he finds of this book that wasn't published at the time of that video. It was scheduled for September 15th. And he really, he's like, yeah, he plagiarized my book.
So how did he know that it was, like, how did he get a hold of the copy of the book?
He didn't. He watched the pictures that Jake Parker put on Instagram, you know, to promote it.
I see.
Okay.
And the publisher then, the publisher of Jake Parker's book, they put the release on hold.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. And Jake Parker disputes the claim. He says I didn't plagiarize. He also put a Twitter post and an Instagram post with his statement. He is expressing that he'd wish that Dunn would have approached him privately instead of putting out the video. But because of potential legal aspects, he won't go into further details. And it sparked another huge uproar, understandably, because, you know, stealing art among the art community is, well, you can imagine that's a huge no-no. And there are voices for and voices against. And it's just, we'll put the link in the show notes and you can watch the video of Alfonso Dunn yourself. It's an hour long, but
if you want,
it's worth it because you really see, you can see that there's really some similarities that can't be coincidence.
Right.
And it's also, you know, Alfonso Dunn is a black artist and Jake Parker is white. And you have another white man who steals a black person's art or work. And that's also in today's climate, it was too much. And there's a lot of people who boycotted this year's Inktober.
I should move to Kinktober instead.
Yeah.
Kinktober's way better, just so you know.
I think a lot of them did different challenges in these Tober events instead. And DeviantArt, who hosted the Inktober Awards, also one day after the video of Alfonso Dunn was posted, they made a statement that they will not host the Inktober Awards of 2020. So there's already damage being done. And the book will not be released, not now, not until this whole dispute is resolved. And the problem I see is that even if the evidence is kind of there, it's still hard to prove that it's really plagiarism because there are fundamental aspects of art that are discussed and these are not... it's universal, you know. It's not something that only one person came up with.
Yeah.
And these are also the two sides that I encountered of the argument that some say, hey, you can't copy concepts that everybody learns about while learning about art. And on the other hand, and that's also where I stand, is that the way you convey said concepts is something unique. Because everybody has a different way to teach. And Jake Parker also does tutorials. He's also a teacher in a way. And it's too similar. So, and the timing is a little odd with everything. You know, the copyright claim, the cease and desist orders, and then the book release. It seems a little icky to me.
Like maybe he was trying to bring down the competition.
Yes, like he wants to clean the shelves of everything Inktober so that he can put his Inktober book there. So that if people look for Inktober books, that's the one they were gonna find.
That's iffy.
Yeah. It's just something doesn't sit right with me with the whole approach from Jake Parker, how he did all this thing. He copyrighted Inktober in 2017, but never saw some sort of a need to tell these artists who are going to publish books, look, it's copyrighted now.
But nobody's going to do that because nobody wants to sound like a dick.
The thing is, I think Jake Parker, he's taking himself too seriously.
Maybe
he's trying to make a living out of a concept that's not out of something that only got big because people got involved.
Yeah,
like it's not his work that made
it's no longer his. Like the thing is, he waited way too long to copyright this. It's now a concept that everybody in this art community participates in.
Everybody can copyright something if it's not yet copyrighted.
I'm not sure of that.
I think it's not easy.
You have to prove, of course. I mean, the blog is his, the event, mm-hmm. the organization is his. He's the one in charge.
The thing is, Angie, I feel like at some point the people that write these copyright ownership things need to look at like how many people are actually already using this concept. Mm-hmm. But by the time that this person is trying to copyright it, it's like it's no longer in my eyes, it's no longer copyrightable. Like mm-hmm. it's something that's been around for way too long to be considered.
It's a community event somehow. And it's the community that made it big. He wouldn't be able to monetize Inktober the way he's trying to do it now.
Yeah, if it wasn't for the artists.
Yeah, if all these artists wouldn't have participated. So,
yeah. It's really sketchy.
It doesn't shine a good light on Jake Parker, and I'm very curious how this will unfold. What's the next steps? Because apparently Jake Parker has some lawyers on his side. These are the lawyers who also went after all these Inktober books. So I hope Alfonso Dunn has some good lawyers too, mm-hmm. and that he can somehow justify his claim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it reminds me a little bit of this whole Omegaverse book ordeal, the lawsuit of also plagiarizing of Omegaverse books. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you heard about that one.
Yeah, I did hear about that.
Ooh, it reminds me a little bit of that because it's also about, you know, about creating and art and plagiarism.
Yeah. So, well, wasn't it that somebody wrote a Omegaverse book and got it published and then tried to sue people that made Omegaverse content or something?
It was straight Omegaverse.
Yeah, straight Omegaverse.
Yeah.
But still,
it doesn't really.
But the thing is, there's no way they could have done that because the concept came from a Supernatural.
Mm-hmm. I am forever thankful to this.
But the problem I see is that lawsuit there, she won.
Did she?
Yeah, because in the end, it's a money thing.
Yeah.
It's a money thing. If you don't have enough money to really, you know,
fight. Yeah.
Yeah. So I hope, I don't know who has more money, Jake Parker or Alfonso Dunn, because these are both two established artists mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. who make a living of their art. So I hope that it's a fair fight.
Yeah. Well, usually stuff like this is never fair.
No,
so.
No. That's my, I still hope for it. And I think that Alfonso Dunn really has a point in his claim that it's plagiarism. So, and mm-hmm. I understand if the art community is boycotting the Inktober event. It's
well, if they boycott it, then Jake wins because they should reclaim it.
Yeah, because he doesn't want them to use it.
Yeah, it was never his.
The problem is, if he takes too much financial damage because of this claim and Alfonso Dunn loses, he then could be sued for damage and mm-hmm. financial losses that he suffered because people who pre-ordered the book canceled their pre-order. He had to delay the book and the whole brand suffered, of course. So this is a really
it's a tricky situation,
yes. And but I keep an eye on it because I wanna know how this is gonna unfold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because for now the facts are Alfonso Dunn makes a claim for plagiarism and Jake Parker is denying it. So that's where we are right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see where it goes.
Yeah.
And I hope it doesn't deter people from creating art.
No.
Matter for what challenge or prompt or whatever.
Yeah. I don't think that artists won't create art. They're probably just going to use different hashtags this time.
Mm-hmm. And from Inktober stemmed Kinktober. So there's no real origin of Kinktober. Nobody specific organized it or invented it. It's just kind of like happened spontaneously.
Because people like, are horny.
Magical.
Yes.
Magical. The magic
but
of
the
horny
just happens.
The earliest mentions I saw of Kinktober were on Twitter 2014. And there were like no prompt list, just like a bunch of people occasionally doing something and saying something like, Inktober, it sounds like Kinktober, ha 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 ha. It's like people played with the word and then it just came to existence. Yeah, so the first prompt list, like with a kink for each day, was posted on Tumblr by Tumblr user Sparks Creator. I was kind of trying to figure out like what kind of fan were they, and they were like in multiple fandoms, but mostly like Euronice and Overwatch. So basically, this user came out with an entire list and invited anyone who wants to try it out in digital art, traditional or writing, to just create for whatever kinks they want. The prompts were like pretty much heavy hitters too, like public, bukkake, daddy kink, dirty talk, humiliation, latex. And that's how it started in 2016, and it spread across multiple fandoms.
Mm-hmm. I think I remember, because of course, Yuri on Ice, that's the first fandom after my huge break and in Internet 2.0 that I joined. And I remember once, because it was, I think, yeah, the first October that arrived, because I didn't join when Yuri on Ice kind of aired. It was the year after. And then October hits. You know, I subscribe directly to the artist on AO3. And every time they post something, or the writer, and every time they post something, I get an email. In October, I was flooded. I was flooded. And I was like, what the hell is happening? Why are they writing so much? And then, you know, you see in the tag Kinktober, and I was like, what the fuck is that? And so I found out about Inktober and Kinktober and all the October events. So ever since, October is an exciting month. So
for me, I actually found out on the server because like somebody was posting and like I did a write. They were posting every single day. I'm just like, how and why? Are you okay? Like, what's going on? I had no idea what any of this stuff was like 3 years ago. I had no idea. And then I saw that and I finally looked at one and I'm like, oh, it's an event. I see. Okay.
And now it's gotten so big as
it's
well.
It's gotten huge.
Yeah.
I've been looking at Google Trends that like shows the graph of how like popular or search for a word is over the years. And you can really see the interest in Kinktober growing every single year since 2014 or 15.
Mm-hmm.
So none of us have ever participated in Kinktober. So we got someone who did. Yuki, welcome. And we are very excited to have you here.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
So tell us a bit about yourself and what was creating for Kinktober like?
I'm Yuki. I go by Ludnarocha on Twitter. I write mostly for JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, sometimes Attack on Titan, My Hero Academia every once in a while, but I don't really publish those. Kinktober...
Why?
I don't know. I'm very insecure in my writing. I haven't been writing for a long time. So this Kinktober has been a bit difficult because I get in this mindset of every time I write, I worry that things will be too similar to something I've written before. So sometimes I write things and then they just stay in Google Docs and never get posted because I worry they're too similar.
I mean, I write things that are pretty much the same fic. It's just in a different setting every single time.
So. I really do get the fear of like wanting to, like having to change up something every time.
Yeah.
Because I feel like people write about things that they're into, and you can only write the same thing so many times without it getting repetitive.
Yeah.
I get that. So how did... Like, why did you decide to do it?
Well, last year I was going to participate in Kinktober, but the last day of September I got admitted to the ER and it rolled over to October 1st while I was in the hospital. So I never got post anything. No. So I was like, this year I'm going to do it. And then I forgot until almost a week in. So now I'm in catch-up mode.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I get that. I just admire people that do it because I just can't, like, work under that kind of a schedule. It's just so bad for my mental health. So like when I see people posting for this, and like sometimes they post every day even, I'm just like, you guys are just on a different level. Like, I don't know.
My problem is that it's just the prompts come so on such a short notice. If I would know the prompts for Kinktober in like January, I know this defeats the purpose because
you have the fighting chance.
You have to. The challenge is to write every day.
Is it though?
Yes.
I think a lot of people just choose like what one specific prompt that they want to do sometime. Like I see a lot of people just post like maybe 1 or 2 days. They don't like, I don't know a lot of people that do every single day.
Well, in art it is, in writing maybe not, because I don't know.
Even
if
in art, I even see a in lot art, of people
I couldn't
that,
do something in one every day.
Yeah. It depends on how much time you want to spend on a picture. I mean, the reason these challenges exist is just to make you create and to make you consistently create. So you don't have to post the masterpiece, but it should be something that challenges you. And that you try, and you should be doing it every day.
That's the point of it.
It's the point of it to create every day consistently.
I suppose to kind of give your mind like some exercise in a different kind of way that you never otherwise would have written or drawn.
But in writing, I don't know.
How do you do it, Yuki?
How do you do it?
It's simple. I don't.
I
wanted to ask though, like, how did you choose the prompt list, or did you make one your own?
Some of them are left over from last year because I never got to do them. But a lot of it is just I write what I like. I wouldn't go and write something I'm not into. Like, I wouldn't write I don't know, scat, because I feel like people can tell when you write something that you don't like. Because it comes off very stiff and clunky.
It doesn't come out horny.
Exactly. You're not putting your whole dick into it, then people can tell.
Oh my God, I love that. I need to put my whole dick into my writing. I was actually thinking about this today when I was reading a fanfic, and I'm just like, this is so horny. I don't write horny anymore. This is why I can't write. This is why. I'm not putting my whole dick into it.
It will grow again, Ash.
It will grow. I wanted to ask you, Ki, what was the biggest challenge in like trying to create for Kinktober? And was there a breaking point or like...
Just finding the motivation. Because sometimes I sit down at my computer and I'm like, I am going to write today. And then I get a Discord notification. And I'm like, I guess I'm not going to write.
Oh, no.
I guess I'm going to talk to a friend for, I don't know, 2 hours. And then I go back and I open my Google Doc and I'm like, wow, I don't know how to form a sentence. I've been social for too long. I can't write now.
I know that feel. Yes. Come home from work and I'm like, oh, tonight I'm going to finish the chapter. And then I don't.
Well, the thing is for me is like in the morning, I have so much motivation and energy and I just want to do everything. I have my entire day planned out. I have to-do list. I have a shopping list. I have everything. And then at the end of the day, when I get home from work, I'm just like, I am now a puddle of goo and I'm just going to remain a puddle of goo. And I don't have fingers as a puddle of goo, so I can't do anything.
You could have if you would write if you could have, but no fingers.
I have no fingers now. So yeah, get that.
What prompt did you enjoy writing the most, or when did you have the most fun?
Honestly, the one that I did post, I think I posted it on the 6th, the JoJo one with Scarlett Valentine and Lucy Steele, was so fun to write because I've never written two women going at it before, and it was very fun.
Mm, that's wonderful.
It was so good. I read this, and I don't usually write women or even like read a lot of like femme slash. But it was so hot. Like, I know you put your dick into it.
I really did. Thank you.
Do you have any tips for people who want to participate in Kinktober for next year?
There's a lot of lists that go around of all the different prompts. There's probably going to be at least 100 people every year that go and do prompt lists that you're going to feel like you need to stick to. Write whatever gets your dick hard. That's all you got to do. Mm-hmm. Just write what you like, or else it's going to be weird and you're not going to like the finished product.
Yeah, and people are going to know that you didn't like writing it.
Exactly.
Like you said, totally get that.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you'd want to share? Anything you'd want to plug even?
I don't know. I guess read my fan fictions on AO3. There's a
recommended.
There's a link to it at my Twitter, at Ludnarancha. Mm-hmm. You can follow me if you want.
We'll put the link in the show notes as well, of course.
Yay.
We will. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
And I will also note that MHA is the first fandom that pops up in related topics. So I think it's safe to say that the MHA fandom has been participating the most, probably.
Well, it's a big fandom.
Yes, the size, the sheer size is like...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really awesome, like, how big and popular it's getting. And I feel like this Kinktober is especially special because I'm seeing a lot more variation in prompts that are still kinky. Not only there's a lot of lists spread out and people making their own list, but there are many different themes. And I think we all like read about a bunch of them, and we'll tell you about them.
All right. So I found one that's Fucktober, and it's spelled FCKTOBR. And I think there's some variations that have like an exclamation after the fuck part. So no, I saw this one going around, and it comes at a time where my Twitter timeline is flooded with Hannibal stuff. Mm-hmm. And like, for some reason, like, the fandom is going crazy with Hannibal lately, and it kind of makes me want to rejoin that fandom for a moment to see what's going on. But along with this came the Fucktober prompts, and I always just want to know, like, where this came from. So I did some Google searches, and I finally figured it out. It comes from Hannagwam on Twitter.
Sounds so funny.
Yeah, Hannagwam. And they go by Vati or Vati, I don't know. So basically the first tweet was, you know, I'm made a new drawing challenge. I'm going to draw either something spooky or something horny. Wish me luck. So and so lately I've seen a lot of big artists doing this prompt list, and some really crazy fucked up stuff is coming out of it. So that's what I found for that one.
Nice.
Oh, some of the prompts that you'll see are like, it goes from praise to knife to like to prisoner. So there's the prompts are very across the board, and there's even
cathedral.
A wet, yeah, cathedral is nice, and wet, and like, I don't know, there's some really there's some things that you can definitely take from several contexts going into this one. So
I think that's good prompts that you can like twist them in many different ways.
Yeah, for sure. You can definitely, especially with this is very, very, very heavily influenced with the Hannibal series. So knowing, if you know anything about Hannibal, you can only imagine how the prompts will come out with this one. But yeah. So I think the next one was Winktober.
Winktober is a combination of Kinktober and Womptober. How would you define womp? Because I didn't know this word before.
I know this word. It's basically just fucking up a character. Like, and usually, like, either very heavily emotionally or very heavily physically. It, you just gotta fuck him up.
Fuck him up.
And it's usually not even, like, sexual. It's just hurting them.
Sometimes you gotta hurt a fictional yes. character.
Like, I've seen a lot of, when I was in the Supernatural fandom, there was a lot of, like, Dean Womp, and, like, then I got to Hero, and it was Deku Womp. I'm like, oh my god. And I don't know how I feel about Deku Womp. I was okay with it before, but now I'm too in love with him to be okay with Deku Womp. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Then maybe skip this one.
Probably.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's created by Wild Mage Not Safe for Work on Twitter. And I really like this list because each prompt has two options, like a kink list and a womp list, like lactation and crying, bondage and on their knees, thanking and shackled. Yeah. So sounds you can really about, play right? around with that. I love that. And the art for it has been really gorgeous.
I bet.
What more were we seeing? Oh, yeah. Cringetober. Cringetober is especially funny to me. because the prompts are so funny. Like,
read some
Shrek
of them.
Shrek reference.
What?
Sans. Shrek references.
Oh, God. Shrek reference.
2000s alternative fashion. Glow. Oh. Like, people cringe. It's like
I'm cringing. I'm cringing so hard and out of my existence.
Yeah. Okay. I like this one. Demon OC.
Demon OC.
I'm Sonic not a OC. Furry, but oh, that's one for you, Ash.
Yes.
The what?
I'm not a furry, but
that's me.
Yeah.
That's.
I'm the definition of not a furry butt. But,
yeah, so there's super fun prompts and I've seen some art for it and it's like so, it's so cool. Like, I'm highly amused.
Mm-hmm. It's cool.
I'm amused.
Another one that's new from this year is Noncontober.
Ooh.
Ooh.
It got a surprising amount of interest for the original list, like 350 RTs and 100 QRTs, which is like surprising for such a like dark kink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The problematic fandom is rising.
It's thriving.
Yeah.
Thriving, yeah.
Thriving, yeah.
I didn't see a lot of art for MHA, but it's really all over the place. A lot of Rick and Morty and like DC fandom stuff. The prompts are like really nice for whoever likes it, which is me. Like drugging and drug sex, rape fantasies, necrophilia, like somnophilia, all over the place.
I love somno. Yeah. That's my kink.
Mm-hmm.
It's my one non-con that I really go hard with.
And other than that, I've been seeing some character-specific prompt lists, like for Bakugo specifically or for Eijiro specifically.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so you can look around for Bakugtober or... No, it's...
Bakutober and Eijirotober, also 2020. Yes. You put the...
Mm-hmm.
So Bakutober 2020 or Eijirotober 2020.
It sounds like election. Like, I would vote for that.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, if these were the candidates.
I'd vote for Bakutober.
Mm-hmm. Another non-kinky variation of the Xtober prompt list is Blacktober, which is a challenge for Black artists and cosplayers, especially fan artists, to create Black fan art of different characters or cosplay them. And nice. Now that I think about it, it might be connected to the controversy with the Black artist because it started this year.
Mm-hmm. It could be.
Yeah.
It could be.
Yeah.
And I completely slept on this as a Black person. I should have known about it. Oh no. Oh well.
No, it's really hard to find out about these things beforehand. Like this one is made by the actual cell on Twitter, and there's actually a Discord community called Black Card Members for like Black and POC artists to support each other and create stuff for this event.
Mm.
Nice. Anyway, I've been seeing like really gorgeous fan arts, and the prompts are really cool too. Stuff like airheads, sword wielder, royalty, creepy, badass, all sorts of stuff.
I want to make a black bakugo.
Do it.
That would be hot.
Do it.
October is not over. Not yet.
Yes.
It's not.
But I've also seen some discourse about it, because some Japanese artists are not really approving of their Japanese characters having their race changed.
Really?
And yeah, so it's so
they're
a whole
okay
thing.
With gender bender, but if you switch race,
they call
it's
it
suddenly
like a
not
blackwashing.
Good.
Blackwashing.
What?
Blackwashing.
What?
What?
Oh, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I really don't like when I think about it. When you create fan content that's not 100% canon, then you're taking some part of the character's original culture and you're replacing it with your own. Because if the character is Japanese and you're not Japanese, then unless you're copying the exact canon, then you can't fill that gap of culture that you're mm-hmm. not a part of. Mm-hmm. So everything is washing.
In
and
some
I just hate,
form, yes.
Yeah, like when I write a college AU of a Japanese character.
Yeah, it's
that's
probably
like,
not going to be Japanese
yeah.
university life.
I mean, okay, yeah. Well, when I write stuff, I definitely, like, I know a lot of people don't do this, and I'm not saying that is bad that they don't, but I always, like, really research, you know, what the school life is in that country mm-hmm. that I'm writing.
But that's
and,
you.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you
that's
don't
just
have
me.
To.
You don't have to. I honestly, I don't see the problem when you're writing a fan work, you know,
yeah.
you know inserting your own culture. As long as like you're not making money from this, like I guess I don't know.
Same. Like I put the line on monetizing, like you said, and also
yeah.
if you feel like you made the character better because it's in your culture or your race, that's just plain racism. Like thinking that because it's like you, it's more similar to you, it's better.
It's yeah, if you are creating something to make a character more valid, I feel like that's kind of drawing a line, because this character's in this culture for a reason and they're valid in that culture. So it's like...
Yeah, but yeah. I don't see the problem if you draw a black All Might or a yeah. black Bakugo. It's just with there is no problem if you draw a female Eijiro or a female
see,
Deku.
This subject is so hard, because the thing is, if it was me and it was my race, and like if there's a black character and somebody drew them white,
mm-hmm.
I would mm-hmm. feel offended. So, like, so I mean, mm-hmm. I guess I don't know. The thing about Japanese characters and drawing them like white, it's hard to detect, because
yes.
the way that Japanese characters are drawn in manga are very hard to distinguish as typical like Japanese style sometimes. Like there are definitely some manga that are focused on the specific like race style, and you can tell that this character is Japanese. But there's a mm-hmm. lot of characters in a lot of anime that you wouldn't really call Japanese, especially if they have blonde hair and blue eyes or whatever.
Oh, so, green hair.
Or green hair.
Yeah.
So it's just like, it's not something that like is noticeable, but I guess it becomes noticeable if you draw a character black, when typically, I guess most characters in anime aren't black, which, mm-hmm. you know, so yeah. I mean, I kind of get it, but I also, you know, I'm also of the mind of, well, it's not really... I don't have a problem with drawing a Japanese character black, but I guess I would have a problem drawing a black character in another race. So I'm on both sides of
yeah,
the fence.
Yeah, but you know, if you have a black character, it's also about representation. But it's not yeah. like a Japanese character in a Japanese comic is
about representation.
Like,
yeah.
It's about representation. So
it's right. nothing about representation.
It's not the same. If you take
it's not the same. Yeah.
No, it's not the same. So I don't see where the problem is, because yeah. it's not blackwashing. Even that word is stupid. But
that word. yeah.
It shouldn't be a controversy, no.
There's not like there's a race that, you know, I mean, I'm sure there is. I don't know enough about Japanese culture to say whether or not there is a race that needs to be represented in the Japanese culture.
they do have like really, how do you say it? Like indeed. Not neglected, but they do have like discriminated, not race, but like.
It's similar to the American natives.
Is it indigenous? Yeah. Indigenous?
Yes.
Okay,
There are indigenous Japanese.
Okay. Is it in Hokkaido?
That's the word I wanted to use, but I wasn't sure if it was correct to use it or not. So like if there was a comic about the indigenous Japanese people in certain parts of Japan, then yeah, it would be totally not okay to either whitewash them or blackwash them or whatever, because that is misrepresentation of, you know, a minority, mm-hmm. you know, so of course that would be problematic.
Exactly. Yes.
But if it's just the community as a whole, in a way that Japanese are always, always, always portrayed in manga.
They're always Japanese, unless always specified Japanese. Otherwise, because they're a foreigner or yes. they're half or something.
But a ryugakusei.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's a different subject. And I think that they're not seeing it the way that we see it. And that's a cultural divide. You know, it's something that it's hard to, like, convey between cultures. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've been googling Blacktober and I see a Black All Might. It actually exists and it's gorgeous. That's just hot. Gonna retweet that now.
I need to show Pichon. I bet she'll
what?
I bet Pichon will get wet. I don't know. We'll see. We can cut that out.
I'll link it to her.
Okay, link it
to her. I just retweeted it. It's Black All Might. He looks nice. Nice.
Please do. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. All right. And I think next is what? Comfortober, the most comfortable prompt list ever. Or is there something else before that?
No, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's apparently okay, it's a user Levio Knock, or I don't know how to say it, but it's the chillest thing ever. There's no rules. You just do what's comfortable and then have fun. And like some of the things on there are like sweater and then a leaf, pumpkin carving, self-care. And it's like a gentle kiss or fairy lights, stars. And,
fairy lights.
And it's just so sweet. Everything about this just gives me a sense of like August and fall and October, and I just yes.
I see that day 20 is day off, and I don't know if the prompt is day off or it's
I know. Do I just take a break? Because that sounds also valid in a prompt list like this.
You know, my brain is just it's not made for this, because prompt 25 is socks. And I immediately go to the feet kink. I think I wouldn't be able to create wholesome, comfortable.
You lost me. I hate feet kinks so much.
I know. But it's what's jumping in my head.
Gosh, I always like, when I watch porn, I'm just like, yeah, this is hot. And then suddenly a toe goes in a mouth and I'm just like,
or prompt 21 scent. And I'm like, heat, rot.
See, Andy, you're too horny for this list.
Yes. But otherwise, it's really sweet. Yeah. It's really sweet. It's a good idea.
The word sweet is even on the list.
It's prompt 5. So,
oh gosh, all right.
Mm-hmm. Both October and November have some writing based prompt challenges, and I guess we should start with NaNoWriMo because it's a really big one, right?
It's
Ash,
huge, yes. So, this is actually a prompt, and it's not prompt, it's literally an event in November, and it starts November 1st. So, it's called NaNoWriMo, and it's short for National Novel Writing Month, and it's become a huge thing. It started in 1999 as a challenge to write 50,000 words of a novel in 30 days. And then on
wow.
It's a lot of words.
It's old.
Yeah, 50, it's old.
50,000 is this really, it's a book.
Yeah. Oh, but listen, yeah. Like, okay, so I've experienced this magic. So basically, everybody becomes a part of this event. You sign up, you join camps, and like you're in this group and you collectively are all writing a certain amount of words. And like, so some people have specific goals and then some people have like lower goals, you know, mm-hmm. but like, so basically we're all trying to collectively write this amount of words and we, you know, we just report in, like there's check-in days and everything. And so it's kind of, you get this kind of hive, like pack mentality. And wow. Like, you just...
Is it more like a drill sergeant check-in or like a cycle, like... It's, a supportive check-in.
It's a supportive check-in. It's not a drill sergeant thing. But basically, no, it's really cool because you kind of get like a pack mentality here or aww. A hive kind of connection and the energy of like, okay, I'm going to write all these words. It just like intensifies with the group of people you're in. So for some reason, you're able to write 10,000 words a week or something, you know, whoa. And it's like, it's crazy. But yeah, so you write out 50,000 words of whatever you want. Typically, Nanorimo has been about fiction writing and novelists. So basically, one of their slogans on their site was people come in as teachers and like undergrads or people in a completely different position in life and come out novelists. Because mm-hmm. I mean, 50,000 words is a novel.
Yeah.
That's a big, big amount of words. But it officially became a nonprofit organization in 2006. The website hosts more than 1 million writers.
Wow.
What?
Yeah, Nanorimo is actually a real world writing event in like cities from like Mexico City to Seoul to Milwaukee with 900 plus volunteers. Like a lot of people participate in this wow. event in real life, not even just online, because they participate at libraries and community centers. These are like real world representatives of this event. So it's a huge thing.
How big are the groups?
You know, so it depends on your group, how many people join your camp. I think we got up to like 10 in the one that I was in. When I was doing it.
Mm-hmm. That's a good size for like...
Yeah, it's not too much pressure. It's enough to check in with each other mm-hmm. and, you know, without feeling too overwhelmed, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I participated in the event a few times now. Actually, parts of How to Train Your Shitty Omega came from it.
No way!
Yeah, for sure. But no, I got really motivated writing as part of a group. It's kind of like sprinting, but just... way more. Mm-hmm. I think it's less like in the moment and more over time where, you know, sprinting is kind of your, all right, I got 30 minutes, you know, but this yeah. is kind of just holding you kind of accountable in a non-constricting way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I enjoy it a lot and it's inspired a lot of other events just like it. So I would check it mm-hmm. out if you're interested in writing a lot of words. Just a lot. It's a good way to get stuff done.
Another event that takes place in October is Ficktober, which is much like Inktober, but for fics. So there's no clear origin, but the fandoms who seem to started it is Welcome to the Night Vale and X-Files. And the first prompt list was posted in 2015 by Salt Queen. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting to see how fic prompts are different than art prompts, because a prompt can be like, write a song for the weather, or write about your no-TP in any context, or write about your favorite place in the Night Vale. Mm. It's really cool.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard of Welcome to Night Vale. I never did anything
I've
with
never
it.
Heard of it.
Really?
Is it a show?
No, it's like a web show or something. It's or like a radio, like a it was like a podcast kind of, but it wasn't. Like, I don't remember. It was so weird.
It's a podcast, mm-hmm. yeah.
Is it? Okay.
It's mimicking a radio show that's reporting about the fictional town of Night Vale. So,
yes.
Ooh, that's super
it's
cool.
super cool from what I know.
Mm-hmm. I have to get into these fiction podcasts because I keep seeing them and being talked about them, but I never actually started listening to a fiction podcast.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Sounds super fun.
Yeah.
I've known really about fun. This for a long time and I never, ever, ever, ever listened to it. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It keeps coming up though, so maybe it's something I should check out.
Yeah.
So recommend me some if you find some, please, dear listener.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Back to Figtober. It started out by a user, but now it's like a moderated event. It has a Tumblr account that reblogs every like fic in the hashtag or posts the prompt list every year. And they're a bit different, but they're also fun because the prompts are like a dialogue line, like "I told you so," or "watch me," or "unacceptable, try again." And that sounds Ooh. Like super fun to write off from.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, "watch me." Who said that line? Who said that line?
What? Oh.
Hmm.
They don't say for nothing that the fics write themselves.
Yes. Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. It's nice to learn that there are like different formats of prompts and not just like a word you go off from. Mm-hmm. Like it can mm-hmm. be a sentence, like sort of a task. You can do anything. I wonder if cosplayers have their own list, because I'm not much on Instagram, but I bet they have like their own things.
Probably.
Would be nice to mm-hmm. find out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's incredible how one artist somewhere in 2009 wanted to challenge himself about drawing a picture every day of October. And now we have like this huge variety of different events in this month.
Yeah,
right.
And it's gotten so big and it's kind of interesting to see this.
Mm-hmm.
So cool. Yeah. And I think I'm going to look into that Figtober thing for next year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It kind of makes me want to write my own prompt list for like my original story to kind of motivate me to Ooh. Write for it.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least do some world building for
That's
it.
That's what they are for, all these challenges. Yeah. In the end, it's the spirit of this Toper challenges. It's what sparked it.
Yeah.
To challenge yourself mm-hmm. to get better.
Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, I would really use this for world building and character building.
Mm-hmm.
Be good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Angie, that was really good. Like a good way to close the podcast.
Yes.
So that's all the time we have for today. If you like the show, please subscribe to our podcast and give us a follow on Twitter or Instagram. You can find us at Fujoshi Weekly. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.